Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Startup Sales. Really excited for this week's episode. We have Anthony Barone, founder of Studio Hawk with us. And this is an agency that helps you with your SEO, and we all know how important that is for the longevity of your company. So he's going to talk about a little bit about that, how to make that work for your company, and also about some of the things that he's learned on his own and on his journey to growing his business. So let's get to today's episode.
Welcome to the Startup Sales Podcast, where we dive into the world of sales and marketing. Join us as we interview founders and industry experts, uncovering their successes and failures in the market. Get valuable insights and learn from their experiences to boost your own sales strategies. And now, a word from this episode's sponsor. Are you tired of struggling to reach your sales targets? We believe in you get what you pay for. That's why you pay only for the leads you get. Introducing Startup Sales, the leading growth hacking agency that guarantees meetings with your prospects. With our proven strategies, we'll bring you between 15 to 30 qualified prospects every month. And here's the best part. It's risk-free. You only pay us upon success. Don't let your competitors get ahead. Let Startup Sales supercharge your sales pipeline today. Visit us at startupsales.io. Startup Sales, your ultimate growth hacking partner.
Anthony, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Adam. Appreciate it.
So you were telling me a little bit before we started that you're from Australia and you moved to the United Kingdom, to England. I don't know what the normal term is for that. There's so many names. Anyways, so can you tell a little bit about why you moved and why people should listen to you?
Yeah, 100%. So yeah, I moved to the UK 4 years ago after being an SEO specialist at Studio Hawk Australia. I was the second hire there and managed to build up my knowledge, build up my skills after coming from somewhere with absolutely no background in marketing or SEO. I came from sports. And I got an opportunity to be a junior at Studio Hawk and learned and grinded my way up. And then the opportunity to move to the UK came about. So I'm like, well, I'll take that. Have no idea, no clue, not many contacts, if any, and never started a business before. So it's like, well, we'll go to the UK in the most competitive, hardest market for SEO with some of the best and brightest SEOs in the country and compete with them. So yeah, and just been growing the business through Corona, building the team, trying to get sales, you know, when you've got no one else to rely on but yourself. So I've had to really experience a bit of everything.
Wow, that's really bold.
Been a journey.
What's the hardest thing out of everything that you did to start this business? What was the hardest thing for you?
I think it's realizing that you can actually do it, and the flip side to that is knowing that there's no one else to really rely on to do it. Like, you know, I didn't have the Australian team. I didn't have the friends, and what would be done back there is more just like, well, you've got to put a roof over your head, and you've got this opportunity to build this company up in this market. No one else is going to do it. So you need to speak to that person. You need to do that email. You need to finish this report. You need to go to that event because there's no one else there. And it realizes that you actually can do it. And it gives you confidence, but it's, you know, it's still challenging.
Yeah. You have to have a lot of self-discipline there. That's for sure.
100%.
All right. And besides the self-discipline, what was the hardest thing to getting the company up and running?
Culturally, they're similar, Australia and the UK. So it wasn't too much of a challenge there. And we, you know, we're able to speak to the right people to get all that elements in place and have your accountants and make sure you've got your company's house number and all that stuff. I think it was just going out there and doing it and getting and meeting the people, because it came over here knowing no one. So just before Corona, so September of 19, it was going to networking events, going to industry events, trying to meet web developers and things like that, because we only do SEO. So it was just trying to reach out to those people who don't do what we do because they get scared if, you know, another SEO outreaches to them. So outreaching to them, trying to get conversations in with them, you know, this is pre-Corona. So, you know, SEO, while it was still popular, not as popular as it is today. So that was probably the biggest one, is just getting out there and just meeting those people and just scouring and just trying to get those chats in to start building the network.
I think that's really great, because so many people go out and, okay, I'm going to start a new business. I'm going to focus on the product, or I'm going to focus on, I'm not saying that this is not important, but focus on the website or things that don't matter as much as going out, networking, meeting your potential prospects. And that's what you did. You actually went out and made that happen. That's nice. Great. So why SEO? Why is that important for companies to jump into?
SEO is important. And again, I've come from, you know, this is what I've learned to be able to grow and build a life and a career through. I think it's important because you can actually own it. You own your platform. You own your website. It is your soapbox. It is your platform to be able to talk about who you are, what you do, showcase your expertise, sell your wares. You know, it's you're building equity in the search results because, you know, 90% of the Western world uses Google and Bing. So they're going to be using everyone uses an online search engine to be able to start their journey. What is a business? Where can I buy a car? Sandals, whatever it is, they're going to be going into Google and they don't know who your business is. So you want to be coming up for that search. So search is really powerful and really important. And it's something that you own and you can control, unlike things like, say, paid ads and social media and stuff like that. But your website, you own it. You want to return an investment on that website. Well, the only place in the Western world it's going to be seen is on Google and Bing. So why not make it worth your while? And when your sales team is clocked off at 5:30, your website's still going. So yeah, that's why I think SEO is the important part. Not only as a big part of digital marketing, but something for a business that you can own and control.
Okay, and how long does it take to get going for a company?
So SEO is a longer term sort of strategy. You know, it is like building your own house. You've got to make sure the website foundations are good. You've got to build the content on the website. So for quicker wins, you look at something like paid ads, but they get expensive really quickly. So yeah, the way I like to frame it is PPC is like renting a house and SEO is like, you know, buying a house and building equity in that house. So for us, we tend to be conservative. So like 4 to 6 months. Working together with the agency to get things done. So, you know, an agency should be executing. So like jumping into the website, fixing things, helping out with content, keyword research, strategy, that type of stuff I'm working with you. But it does take a bit of time. Google's crawling millions of websites and web pages all the time. And they've got to determine what's valuable and what's not to put in their search engine. So if your website has a lot of stuff that's not valuable, well, then they're not going to put it in their index and people aren't going to find it. So yeah, we say 4 to 6 months, but results can happen quicker. It's just, again, every website is its own sort of situation. Every business is its own situation.
I think it's so important. You know, you say 4 to 6 months and that it sounds like it's a long time. It's really not. You're going to need the business in 4 to 6 months from now as well. So yes, there are things that could run that could get you up and with more leads and more conversations today, but you're going to need the business later, so you might as well get that going as well. So what are the steps that that a company should be taking? Like just on the core steps, not to getting too extreme, that they could be taking to start getting results?
Yeah, so looking at their website. You don't even have to know SEO to just have a general feel if your website is user-friendly or not. If you look at your website and you go, I'm reading this content and will someone want to engage with me or buy from me reading this content? So if you've just spun up a bunch of ChatGPT stuff, well, you're not really showcasing your authority. You're not really getting the essence of you and your business on that platform that you own, which is your website. So looking at your website, getting a feel for it, is it easy to use? Is it easy to understand? You know, do people want to work with you once they read that content? Are you detailing all the services that you offer? So it's like going into a shop, a physical shop, and then having nothing on the shelves and then expecting people to buy from you. Well, there's nothing on the shelves. So what are people going to buy? Oh, but it says on the shop window that we sell books. Yeah, where are they? What books? What do you do? So I take that same approach, but with the website. So yeah, looking at your website to see how easy it is to use and can people understand and want to engage with you just from a top level sort of not much experience, just the general, you know, feel for a website.
So it sounds to me you're saying a lot about content and a lot about, so Do I need to have content writers to go out there and push? Because you also said like it needs to sound like you and sound have your voice. So do I need to create content myself or have my team internally do it? Or is it okay to send that work out?
Bit of everything. So it depends on your situation. So if you can write it yourself and you've got time, great. You know, it gets that essence and real feel for it. Some of the other ways, if a founder doesn't have time, is they will have either an in-house person or someone that's part of the team or a content writer where they'll write the majority of it, and then that person can add their polish to it. You can use ChatGPT for ideas and to do a framework for an article, but don't let it write the whole thing, and then don't copy paste it into your website. So help, you know, use it to spin up your process. So yeah, you can do a bit of everything depending on the situation. I know people might not have time, so they can use different tools. So yeah, but that content is, you want to be able to get, because if you don't have content on there and you don't have good content, well, like I said before, Google's not going to rank you for relevant keywords. If that content is just not valuable, it's not providing an answer, it's not being useful. So that's what you want to try and do with your content. You just don't want to have it there for the sake of having it there, because that'll just be a waste of everyone's time. But you've also got to think that it's not just Google that you're trying to please. It's actually people who you want to buy, who want to engage with you and buy from you. So when they're, like I said before, when you're reading that content or when someone's reading that content, is this good for people to then pick up the phone and say, oh, I want to work with you guys because you guys know your stuff?
Could one piece be the answer to everything, or does this take a long approach? When I know you said 4 to 6 months before this starts paying off, but is it on an individual user level? Is it one golden piece? Will that make that person want to convert or what?
It has in the past with like certain businesses where they've written like a one killer blog post and amazingly that's like got a few leads. But like anything, it's about consistency. And just because you have one, you did one LinkedIn post and then you get a heap of people from it and then you never do it again. Oh, that was great. So it's a one-hit wonder. Same thing with the website. You want to create consistent content because you're telling Google, hey, we're an authority in this space. We're providing value to your search engine by providing wonderful insights consistently. So yes, you can write like one killer piece and it might last for a little bit, but it's about being able to build that authority, build that bank of content that then you can then dominate searches for. So yeah, you might have like one golden piece that performs really well for a short, you know, for a time, and then competitors will beat it. And then you have to then beat it again. So yeah, it's about a wide start. Okay. I like to start off small and build it up, because again, everyone's got their different constraints in terms of budget and time and whatnot, and then slowly build out content around relevant topics and then go from there.
So how much content should I be creating?
So your basics are having, so if you're a B2B business and you need to have services pages, specific services pages for what it is you do. Now, not just one page that has everything on it. You can break down your services pretty nicely that will detail exactly what it is that you do. So when someone reads that, it's almost like they're speaking to one of your BD reps. It's all there on the website. So then Google and users don't even have to think. You have done your job in providing all the information around your services. So you create a specific page for all the different services. Another idea is creating expertise pages. So how your service works for the people that you work with. So you're an accountant. There might be 10 disciplines with under accounting, you know, VAT and things like that. But then who do you specialize for? You might be specialists in construction accounting or accounting for e-commerce. So you would have those specialist sector pages that detail how well your services work for those industries. And you have created specific content targeting that person, that business that you want to work with. So they're the two like static pages that once you build, you'd probably review, you know, once a year unless anything changes. And then the consistent thing is probably a blog post where you're providing, you know, information and updates and insights into your industry so that your place is an authority, which basically is quality over quantity. So if you can do one a month, that's an absolute killer piece and it provides an answer, great. If you can do more, awesome. But quality over quantity.
Gotcha. Does length matter?
Not anymore. Not anymore. You used to. You know, back in the day, you used to be like, oh, at least make it, you know, 1,000, 1,500 words, but it's literally all about the quality now. How well does that post or that paragraph or that content answer a question? How good is the heading structure on that page? And how informative is it? How much does it help? So they're the things to look at now. Like I said, quality over quantity these days.
Okay. I'm curious, what are some of the common mistakes that you see companies making with this that wouldn't be so obvious? Because, I mean, we talked about a few things now that obviously it would be the opposite of that. So what are some other uncommon but common mistakes?
Technical SEO is one that tends to get, it seems to be a bit nerdy. So people forget about it, or they don't believe their web developer, or they don't believe the agency and things like that. Oh, I've got a website that's 10 years old. Yeah, things change. So technical SEO is one that should be looked at. Again, health of the website. You know, you don't drive a car for 10 years without getting it serviced. And if you do, you're going to run into a problem one day or another. So technical SEO
is
one.
Unless it's a Tesla.
Unless it's a Tesla, then, you know, it does the updates from the air. So that's probably one. Another common, like one that doesn't get thought about is, and it's probably more popular now because of what's happened, and is ChatGPT. Like I said before, people just copy paste stuff, and people have been article spinning for 20 plus years. Just the medium has changed. Now it's ChatGPT. But like, is it providing a valuable answer? No, it's not. And a bunch of other people are just going to be copying pasting ChatGPT. So you might get like a short term sugar rush in rankings, but eventually Google will figure this out. Taking the lazy option usually bites you. It usually bites you quite hard. There are a couple of things where they tend to get overlooked, but they come up often enough for us.
Interesting. Okay. What are some last tips or your biggest piece of advice that you have for all the listeners?
Create content for humans, not for search engines. People buy from people. So make sure that when you're writing content, get other people to read it and try and get feedback and critique and be like, do you actually understand what we're trying to do with this? So that's one. Technical health, again, not everyone can do that, but you can, like I said, you can just get a general feel. If I click on a page and it's broken or if it's slow loading, you can at least open up the conversation to an agency or to your people in your team. Be like, how is our website? Ask for feedback from your clients. Ask feedback from your people, especially if you want your website to be a major driver of traffic that, you know, you're paying for or you've paid for. So they would be two. And the other one is, don't just solely rely on paid Google ads or any one channel for all your marketing, because that's just irresponsible. You should try and different things to see what works for your business and then double down, such as LinkedIn or like things like that. But yeah, what tends to happen is it's a bit of recency bias and people get caught up in, oh, that's always worked, so it always continued to work. And then when the prices get jacked up or Facebook changed their cookies or whatever, and then it all goes down. So yeah.
Okay. Anthony, thanks so much for joining and sharing with us. How could people reach out to you or find more about Studio Hawk?
Awesome. Yeah, thanks, mate. So on LinkedIn, you can catch me on LinkedIn. Just give us a follow or an ad. And studiohawk.co.uk. Always happy to chat and help out.
Great. Anthony, thanks again.
Thank you, Adam.
Thanks for listening to Startup Sales with Adam Springer. Subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. Contact Adam about speaking engagements or consulting services at adam@startupsales.io.